A Werewolf Romance, written by Lillian Gerard. Prologue, The Wrong Twin. They say that when twins are born under a blood moon, one is blessed and one is cursed. I was born second. 16 seconds after my sister Celestia slipped into the world screaming with power, her aura already glowing golden, her magic already manifesting. I followed, silent, powerless, wrong. I was told by the midwives. My mother, High Priestess Morgana of the Silverwood Pack, took one look at me and knew. I have seen it in her eyes, that disappointment, disgust. The knowledge that she'd been given one perfect daughter and one defective spare. They say twins share everything, a womb, a birthday, a bond that transcends normal sibling connection. But Celestia and I? We shared nothing except a face. She got the power, the love, the destiny. I got the leftovers. And on my 16th birthday, when the mate bonds were supposed to manifest, when the moon goddess was supposed to finally give me something of my own, my fated mate took one look at me, then at my perfect twin sister, and chose her instead. This is my story. The story of the wrong twin, the powerless daughter, the rejected mate. But it's also the story of how I stopped being wrong and became something they never saw coming. Something that would make them all regret every moment they overlooked me. Let me take you back to the beginning. To the childhood that taught me I was born to be invisible. To the 16 years of being compared and found wanting. To the night when my world shattered and I finally, finally, stopped trying to be enough for people who would never see my worth. Chapter 1. The Golden Child and the Shadow. My first memory is of my mother's face, not smiling at me, not holding me, not looking at me at all. She was looking at Celestia. I was 3 years old, and we were in the temple where Mother performed her duties as High Priestess. Celestia stood on the altar platform, her small body already radiating power, golden light dancing around her fingertips as she practiced the spells Mother had been teaching her. I sat in the corner, watching, always watching. "Again, Celestia," Mother said, her voice warm with pride. "Channel the Earth's energy through your core. Feel it respond to you. You're doing beautifully, my darling." Celestia beamed, her identical face, my face, but somehow better, glowing with pleasure. She closed her eyes, and the golden light intensified. The candles around the altar burst into flame. The crystals suspended from the ceiling chimed like bells. Perfect. She was always perfect. "Mama," I said quietly from my corner, "can I try?" Mother's head turned, and for a moment she looked confused, as if she'd forgotten I was there. Then her expression hardened. "Sarah, I've told you. You don't have the gift. There's no point in trying." "But maybe if I practiced like Celestia..." "Celestia has power because the moon goddess blessed her," Mother interrupted sharply. "You don't have power because you weren't meant to. Some wolves are born to lead. Others are born to follow. You need to accept which one you are." At 3 years old, I didn't fully understand what she meant. But I understood the tone. I understood that when she looked at Celestia, her eyes shone with love. And when she looked at me, they held nothing but disappointment. "Come, Celestia," Mother said, turning her back on me. "Let's work on your healing gift. The pack's healer says you're already more powerful than she is." They left. I sat in the corner of the temple alone, surrounded by crystals and candles and the residual warmth of my sister's magic. And I tried. I closed my eyes like Celestia had. Tried to feel the Earth's energy. Tried to channel something, anything, through my core. Nothing happened. No golden light. No flames. No chiming crystals. Just me. Ordinary. Powerless. Wrong. I was 3 years old when I learned I would never be enough. The pattern continued. At 5, Celestia manifested her wolf early. Unheard of. Miraculous. A sign of her incredible power. She shifted into a beautiful golden wolf with eyes like amber, and the entire pack celebrated for 3 days. I didn't shift. Wouldn't shift for another 10 years. And even then, my wolf would be small and unremarkable. At 7, Celestia healed her first patient, a warrior who'd been injured in a border skirmish. Mother proclaimed her a prodigy. The pack elder said she was blessed by the moon goddess herself. I couldn't heal a paper cut. At 9, Celestia began training with the pack's warriors, despite being female, despite being young, because her power made her valuable. She learned combat magic, defensive spells, how to channel her energy into weapons. I wasn't allowed to train. "You'll just get hurt," Mother said, "and we can't spare healers to patch you up when there are real warriors who need attention." By the time we turned 10, the differences between us were so stark that people stopped thinking of us as twins. Celestia was the golden child, the blessed one, the future of the pack. I was Sarah, the other daughter, the disappointment, the one who proved that even identical twins could be completely different when one was born right and one was born wrong. Chapter 2, The Perfect Sister. The worst part wasn't Mother's coldness, it was Celestia's kindness. Because my sister wasn't cruel, wasn't mean, didn't mock me or belittle me or make my life actively worse. She was perfect, even in how she treated me. "Sarah, I saved you a seat at lunch," she'd say brightly, patting the bench beside her in the packed dining hall. And I'd sit there while her friends, all powerful wolves, all destined for greatness, talked around me like I was furniture. "Sarah, I told Mother you should come to training with us," she'd insist. "You could watch, learn. Maybe it would help you develop your gifts." But we both knew it wouldn't help. We both knew I'd never have gifts to develop. "Sarah, why do you always look so sad?" she'd ask with genuine concern. "You have everything you need, a home, a family, a sister who loves you. Why isn't that enough?" And what could I say? That everything she had, the power, the praise, the love, should have been split between us? That being her shadow was slowly killing something inside me? That her kindness felt like pity, and pity was almost worse than hate? I couldn't say any of that. So I'd smile and say, "I'm fine, Celestia. Just tired." And she'd believe me. Because Celestia was so used to everyone adoring her, so used to being perfect and beloved, that it never occurred to her that someone, even her own twin, might resent her for it. The pack loved her. They called her their golden hope, their future Luna, the wolf who would lead them to greatness. And me? They called me Celestia's sister, when they called me anything at all. Most of the time they just didn't see me. I became very good at being invisible, at sliding along walls, at making myself small and quiet and forgettable, at existing in spaces without taking up space. And I told myself it was fine. I told myself that I didn't need power or praise or my mother's love. I told myself that someday, something would be mine. Something Celestia couldn't take or overshadow or make better just by existing. I told myself that when I turned 16 and my mate bond manifested, I'd finally have someone who chose me first. Someone who saw me instead of my perfect twin. I held on to that hope like a lifeline for years. And then my 16th birthday came, and I learned that hope was just another thing I wasn't allowed to have. Chapter 3, 16. The mate bond manifests on your 16th birthday. Everyone knows this. It's one of the fundamental truths of wolf life. On the day you turn 16, if your fated mate is nearby, you'll feel it. A pull, a recognition, a certainty that transcends logic. I'd dreamed about my 16th birthday for years. Dreamed about the moment when someone would look at me, really look at me, and feel that undeniable pull. When someone would choose me not because I was Celestia's twin or the High Priestess's daughter, but because I was me. Because the Moon Goddess herself had decided I deserved someone. The day started like most birthdays in our house. Celestia woke me up by bouncing on my bed, her golden hair flying, her perfect smile bright enough to hurt. "Happy birthday, sister," she sang out. "We're 16, can you believe it? Today might be the day we meet our mates." Notice the "we," even on our birthday, even in this moment that should have been ours separately, she made it about us together. "Happy birthday, Celestia," I said, pushing myself up. Through the window, I could see the pack already preparing for the celebration. Because of course there would be a celebration. The golden child was turning 16. The entire pack would want to commemorate it. The fact that I was also turning 16 was incidental. Mother swept into our room without knocking. She was dressed in her High Priestess robes, white and gold, covered in sacred symbols, her dark hair piled high on her head. "Celestia, darling, come. We need to prepare you for tonight. The pack elders want to perform a blessing ceremony. And Alpha Marcus will be there." She stopped, noticing me. "Oh, Sarah. Happy birthday, I suppose. Try not to embarrass us at the celebration." Then she was gone, Celestia trailing behind her after throwing me an apologetic look that didn't change anything. I got ready alone. I didn't have ceremonial robes like Celestia. Didn't have a blessing ceremony. Didn't have pack elders excited about my future. I had a simple dress, hand-me-down from Celestia, because why waste money on new clothes for the powerless twin? And a desperate, aching hope that tonight would be different. That tonight, someone would see me. The celebration was held in the pack's great hall. Hundreds of wolves attended, all dressed in their finest, all buzzing with excitement. Excitement for Celestia, of course. The golden child turned 16. "I heard she's already stronger than most adult wolves. Alpha Marcus is definitely her mate. Can you imagine? The two most powerful wolves in the pack, fated for each other." Alpha Marcus. He was 19, already leading our pack after his father's death 2 years ago. Powerful, handsome, respected. Everything an alpha should be. And according to pack gossip, definitely Celestia's fated mate. I tried not to think about it. Tried to focus on my own hopes. Somewhere in this room, maybe my mate was waiting. Maybe he'd feel the pull and seek me out. Maybe, then I saw him. Alpha Marcus stood across the hall, and even from a distance I could feel it. The pull, the recognition, the absolute certainty. He was mine, my fated mate. The Moon Goddess had given me someone perfect. My heart soared. For the first time in 16 years, something was mine. Not Celestia's. Not shared. Mine. I started walking toward him, my hands shaking, my breath catching. He hadn't noticed me yet. He was talking to the pack elders, but he would. He'd feel the bond, too. He'd turn and see me, and Celestia appeared at his side. I watched it happen, like it was in slow motion. She touched his arm. He turned. Their eyes met. And I saw the exact moment the mate bond snapped into place for him. His expression transformed. Shock, wonder, possessive hunger. He reached for her automatically, his hand cupping her face like she was something precious he'd been waiting his whole life to hold. Mate, he breathed. Mate, she echoed, her smile radiant. The pack erupted in cheers. I knew it. The golden child and the alpha. It's perfect. The moon goddess has blessed us. And I stood there, frozen, feeling the mate bond burning in my chest like acid. Because he was mine. The moon goddess had chosen him for me. But he was looking at Celestia like she was his entire world. And she was looking back at him the same way. Because of course she was. Celestia always got everything. Why wouldn't she get my mate too? I tried to move, tried to speak, tried to do anything. But Mother appeared beside me, her hand gripping my arm hard enough to bruise. Don't! She hissed. Don't you dare make a scene. This is Celestia's moment. The pack needs this bond. An alpha and a high priestess's daughter with her power? It will secure our future. You will not ruin this with your jealousy. But he's... My voice broke. I feel the bond. He's mine. The moon goddess. The moon goddess makes mistakes, Mother said coldly. Or perhaps you're simply mistaken. You've always been confused about your place, about your worth. Alpha Marcus is clearly Celestia's mate. Everyone can see it, including him. She was right, because even as I stood there with the mate bond burning in my chest, Marcus never looked at me, never felt the pull, never noticed I existed. He only had eyes for Celestia, and Celestia only had eyes for him. Come, Mother said, dragging me away. Let them have their moment. You can congratulate your sister later. Try to be happy for her. It's the least you can do. I let her pull me away from the celebration, away from the cheering pack, away from the sight of my mate holding my sister like she was his entire world. I made it to my room before I shattered. Falling to my knees, I pressed my hand to my chest, where the bond burned and screamed silently into my pillow. Because the moon goddess had given me a mate, and my twin sister had stolen him before I could even speak his name. Chapter 4. 3 months of dying. The mate bond doesn't fade just because your mate doesn't feel it. If anything, it grows stronger. Every day for 3 months, I woke up feeling Marcus, his emotions, his presence. The mate bond pulling me toward him with a force that made my chest ache. And every day, I watched him with Celestia. They were perfect together. Everyone said so. Alpha Marcus and Celestia are so in love. Have you seen the way he looks at her? The moon goddess truly blessed them both. Mother was thrilled. She'd gotten exactly what she wanted. Her perfect daughter mated to the most powerful alpha in the region. The political advantages alone were enormous. And me? I was expected to be happy for them. Expected to smile at pack gatherings when Marcus pulled Celestia into his arms. Expected to celebrate when Mother announced their official mating ceremony would take place on the next full moon. Expected to ignore the fact that every time they touched, I felt it through the bond. A phantom warmth. A bitter reminder that he was mine, but didn't know it. Didn't want to know it. Because he'd never once looked at me. Not even casually. Not even in passing. I was Celestia's twin sister. Celestia's shadow. Nothing more. The day I decided to tell him, I'd been awake all night. Sick from feeling his joy through the bond. Sick from knowing that joy was directed at my sister. Sick from 3 months of drowning in a connection that only I could feel. I found him in his office in the pack house. Through the door, I could sense he was alone. This was it. My chance. I knocked. Come in. I pushed open the door. Marcus sat behind his desk, paperwork scattered in front of him, looking every inch the powerful alpha. Handsome. Confident. Mine. Alpha Marcus, I said quietly, I need to speak with you about something important. He glanced up, and for a moment his expression was blank, like he didn't recognize me. Then, you're Celestia's sister. Sarah? No, Sarah. Right, what do you need? He didn't even know my name properly. His fated mate, and he didn't know my name. I need to tell you something, I forced out, about the mate bond. About, if this is about the ceremony, he interrupted, looking back at his paperwork. Talk to Celestia. She's handling most of the planning. I'm sure she can find something for you to do. You're her sister. She'll want you involved. That's not... Marcus, please listen. I feel the mate bond. Between us. You're my... He laughed. Actually laughed. Not cruel. Just disbelieving. Dismissive. Sarah, I'm mated to your sister. We both felt the bond the moment we saw each other. Everyone witnessed it. I don't know what you think you're feeling, but it's not a mate bond. Maybe you're just, he waved a hand vaguely, confused or lonely. But you need to let this fantasy go. It's not healthy. I'm not confused. The words burst out louder than I meant. The night of our birthday, I felt it the moment I saw you. The pull. The recognition. You're mine. The moon goddess. The moon goddess gave me Celestia, Marcus said, his voice hardening now. And I thank her every day for it. Your sister is incredible, powerful, perfect. She's everything I could want in a mate. And I love her. He stood up, moving around the desk to look at me more directly. I don't know why you're doing this, he continued. Jealousy? Attention? But it needs to stop. Celestia is my mate. My future Luna. And you need to accept that and move on. Find your own mate. Live your own life. Stop trying to take your sister's. Each word was a knife. I'm not trying to take. We're done here, Marcus said firmly. And Sarah? Don't bring this up again. To me or anyone else. Celestia doesn't need her sister spreading lies about her mate bond. It would hurt her. And I won't allow anyone to hurt her. Understand? I understood. I understood that he felt nothing. That the bond was one-sided. That even standing right in front of him, telling him the truth, I was invisible. I understand, I whispered. I left his office. Made it halfway down the hallway before my legs gave out. The bond pulled tighter, trying to draw me back to him. But he didn't feel it. Didn't want me. Would never want me. And in 3 weeks, I'd have to stand at their mating ceremony and watch him mark my sister. Watch him claim her as his forever. Watch him bind himself to Celestia. While the mate bond between us burned in my chest like a curse. I couldn't do it. I couldn't survive it. So I made a decision. I would run. Chapter 5. The night I left, I planned it carefully. The mating ceremony was in 3 weeks. Everyone would be distracted with preparations. No one would notice me leaving. They never noticed me anyway. I packed light. A small bag with clothes, what little money I'd saved, and my mother's old map of the territories. I took nothing that belonged to Celestia or Mother. Nothing they'd miss. Nothing they'd come looking for. I waited until the night before the full moon. The pack would be busy with pre-ceremony rituals. Celestia would be sequestered with Mother in the temple. Marcus would be with his warriors. No one would see me go. I wrote one letter, left it on Celestia's pillow. I'm sorry I can't stay to watch you be happy. I hope you understand. Please don't look for me. Love, Sarah. Then I shifted, my small, unremarkable brown wolf finally useful for something, and I ran. I didn't know where I was going. Just away. Away from the pack that didn't see me. away from the mate who didn't want me, away from the twin sister whose shadow I could no longer live in. I ran until my paws bled, until my lungs burned, until the mate bond stretched so thin I thought it might snap. But it didn't snap. Even miles away, I could still feel Marcus, feel his contentment, his joy, his love for someone who wasn't me. I ran for 3 days, surviving on instinct and desperation, avoiding pack territories, staying in the wilderness where rogues hunted and normal wolves didn't venture. On the third night, I collapsed beside a stream, too exhausted to continue. The full moon rose. Back in Silverwood Pack territory, the mating ceremony would be starting. And I felt it. Through the bond, I felt Marcus bite Celestia's neck. Felt the moment his mark took hold. Felt his overwhelming love and satisfaction as he claimed her as his forever. Felt my mate bond with him seal shut. Not broken, but closed. Irreversible. He'd chosen her permanently. And I was finally, truly alone. I shifted back to human form and screamed, let the agony tear out of me in a sound that echoed through the empty forest. And that's when I felt something else. Not the mate bond, something new, something that had been dormant inside me my whole life, suppressed by being near Celestia's overwhelming power. My own power. Finally, waking up. Because here's what my mother never knew, what no one in Silverwood Pack knew. Twins born under a blood moon don't have one blessed and one cursed. They have one whose power blooms in the light, and one whose power blooms in shadow. Celestia got the sun, the golden magic, the blessing everyone could see. But I got the moon, the dark magic, the power that only wakes when you're broken enough to let it out. And I was broken. So broken that when my power finally rose, it came like a storm. The stream beside me froze solid. The trees around me bent toward me like supplicants. The animals in the forest went silent, sensing something ancient and dangerous waking. And deep inside me, beneath the pain of rejection and the agony of the mate bond, something whispered, you were never powerless. You were just sleeping, waiting for them to push you far enough that you'd finally wake up and show them what they threw away. I looked down at my hands. They were glowing. Not golden like Celestia's. Silver. Like moonlight made solid. Like the power of a goddess who'd been watching over me all along, waiting for the moment I was ready. I wasn't ready. Not yet. But I would be. And when I was, I'd go back. Show them all what the powerless twin had become. Show Marcus what he rejected. Show Celestia what she'd taken from me. Show my mother that betting everything on the golden child was the biggest mistake she ever made. But first, I had to survive. And that meant finding somewhere safe. Somewhere I could learn to control this new power. Somewhere far from the mate bond that was still trying to pull me back toward a wolf who didn't want me. I stood on shaking legs, pulled my clothes back on, and started walking again. I didn't know where I was going. But for the first time in my life, I was walking toward something instead of away. Toward my own destiny, toward my own power, toward the woman I was going to become, with or without anyone's acceptance. The wrong twin was dead. Something far more dangerous was being born. Chapter 6. The Rogue Lands. I wandered for 2 weeks, no direction, no plan, just following the pull of my new power, which seemed to know where I needed to go, even if I didn't. It led me deeper into the wilderness than any pack wolf was supposed to venture. Into the rogue lands. Territory belonging to no pack, ruled by no alpha, where wolves who didn't fit anywhere else made their homes. Dangerous territory. Lawless. The kind of place my mother had warned me about my entire childhood. "Rogues are wolves without honor," she'd said. "Without pack bonds, they become little better than animals. Stay away from the rogue lands, Sarah. Nothing good lives there." But I had nowhere else to go. And the power inside me, this silver, moonlit magic, was growing stronger by the day. Wild, uncontrolled, dangerous. I needed help. Needed someone to teach me what I was before I accidentally hurt someone, or revealed myself, and had every pack in the territory hunting me. Because this power? This wasn't normal wolf magic. This was something else. Something old. Something priestess mothers would kill to possess. I was resting beside yet another stream, trying to practice controlling the silver light without success, when I felt him. Not a mate bond, different, but powerful, dominant, dangerous, alpha energy, coming closer. I scrambled to my feet, prepared to run, but he was faster. He stepped out from the tree line, and I forgot how to breathe. Tall, muscular, dark hair that fell to his shoulders, eyes that were silver blue, like ice reflecting moonlight, scars across his chest visible through his partially unbuttoned shirt. Dangerous in a way that made every instinct scream at me to submit or flee. But my power rose instead, silver light sparking around my fingers protectively. His eyes widened, focused on that light with an intensity that made me feel pinned. "Well?" he said, his voice deep and rough. "Isn't this interesting?" "Stay back," I warned, even though my voice shook. "Why? Are you going to hurt me with your little moonlight trick?" He smiled, but it wasn't mocking. It was intrigued. I've never seen magic like that. Not in 200 years of living. 200 years. Ancient for a wolf, which meant powerful beyond measure. "Who are you?" I demanded. "Kai," he said simply. "Alpha of the Rogue Court. And you are?" "None of your business." "Fair enough." He moved closer, and I noticed he was walking in a way that suggested he didn't view me as a threat. "But you're in my territory now, so actually you are my business. A young wolf with strange magic wandering alone in the rogue lands. That's either very brave or very stupid." "Maybe both," I muttered. He laughed, a genuine sound that transformed his dangerous face into something almost warm. "I like you," he said. "What pack?" "None." The word came out bitter. "Not anymore." "Ah." Understanding flashed in those silver blue eyes. "Rejected? How did you—" "I can smell it on you. Mate bond pain. Fresh. Still raw. Someone broke your heart recently." He tilted his head, studying me. "Rejected by your mate? Or did he die?" "He chose someone else," I said before I could stop myself. "Then he's a fool." The simple statement shouldn't have meant anything. But coming from this powerful, ancient alpha, who had no reason to lie to me, it hit differently than any platitude Celestia had offered. "What's your name?" Kai asked. I hesitated. Then, "Sarah." "Well, Sarah, you have two options. You can keep wandering the rogue lands alone, trying to figure out what that power of yours is, and probably getting killed by less friendly rogues than me. Or," he held out his hand, "you can come with me to the court. Learn to control your magic. Find a place where being different isn't a crime." "Why would you help me?" "Because that power you have? It's rare. Dangerous. Valuable. And I'd rather it be in my territory, under my protection, than out here, where anyone could find you and use you. His expression grew serious. Plus, you look half-starved and completely lost. I don't leave pups to die alone, no matter how powerful they might be.
I'm not a pup. I'm 16.
Exactly, he said dryly.
A pup.
So what's it going to be, Sarah?
Die alone out here? Or take a chance on the big, bad rogue king?
I looked at his outstretched hand, looked at this dangerous stranger who was offering me something no one in Silverwood Pack ever had. A choice. A chance. A place. And maybe it was stupid. Maybe it was reckless. Maybe I'd regret it. But I took his hand.
Okay,
I said. I'll come with you.
Smart choice,
Kai said, his grip warm and solid around my smaller hand.
Welcome to the Rogue Court, little Moon Witch. Let's see what you can really do.
Chapter 7. The Rogue Court. The Rogue Court wasn't what I expected. I'd imagined something savage, primitive, a collection of feral wolves living like animals in the wilderness. Instead, Kai led me to a hidden valley deep in the Rogue Lands, and I found a thriving community. Hundreds of wolves lived here, not in caves or rough shelters, but in actual buildings. Not a pack in the traditional sense, but a chosen family of misfits and outcasts who'd found each other.
Welcome home, Kai said as we walked through the valley settlement.
Wolves stopped to stare at me, curious, not hostile. This is where wolves come when they don't fit in the pack system. Omegas who refused forced matings, alphas who rejected their inheritance, betas who wanted more than serving someone else's ambitions, anyone who chose freedom over tradition.
And you rule them?
I guide them, he corrected. There's a difference. They stay because they want to, not because they have to. Leave whenever they want. No forced bonds, no mandatory loyalty. Just a safe place to be themselves. It sounded like paradise after Silverwood Pack. He took me to his residence, calling it a palace would be too much. But it was easily the largest building in the valley. Stone and wood built into the hillside, warm and welcoming despite its size.
You'll have your own room, Kai said.
Rest tonight. Tomorrow we start your training.
Training for what?
For controlling that power before it controls you. He turned to face me, his silver blue eyes serious.
I don't know what you are, Sarah, but that magic? It's not normal wolf gifts. It's older, deeper. And if you don't learn to harness it, it will consume you.
How do you know?
Because I've seen it before, he said quietly.
A long time ago. Someone with similar power who couldn't control it. It destroyed her. Destroyed everyone around her. I won't let that happen to you. The certainty in his voice made something in my chest warm. Someone cared if I lived or died. Someone who didn't want me for what I could do for them, but just wanted me alive. It was more than I'd ever had.
Thank you, I whispered.
Don't thank me yet, Kai said with a slight smile. I'm a demanding teacher. You might end up hating me. Chapter 8. 1 year later, time passed differently in the Rogue Court. Without pack obligations or family expectations, I could finally focus on myself, on learning who I was beneath all the comparisons to Celestia. And what I found surprised me. Kai was right. My power wasn't normal wolf magic. You're a moon witch, he explained during one of our early training sessions. Born during a blood moon, your magic comes from the moon goddess herself. Not the watered-down blessings priestesses channel, but direct connection. Raw, powerful, rare. But Celestia was born the same night. Why doesn't she have this?
Because she got sun magic, Kai said.
Your twin absorbed all the light, left you with shadow.
But shadow isn't weaker than light. It's just different. Older. More primal. Your sister can heal and make things pretty. You? He smiled. You can reshape reality itself if you learn to control it. Learning to control it took time. Months of practice. Of pushing my power to its limits and beyond. Of failing and trying again. Of Kai patiently teaching me techniques he'd learned over 2 centuries of life. But slowly, impossibly, I mastered it. I could freeze water with a thought, call shadows to hide me, sense lies, heal in ways Celestia never could. Not just bodies, but souls, broken bonds, shattered minds. I could even affect mate bonds. That discovery came accidentally when I healed a female wolf whose mate had rejected her. I touched her chest where the bond pain lived, and it simply dissolved. Gone. Like I'd cut a thread. Kai watched with something like awe. Do you understand what you just did? I freed her from pain? You severed a mate bond, he said quietly. Something that's supposed to be impossible, permanent, and you just unmade it like it was nothing. I looked at my silver glowing hands. Could I sever my own bond? The one still tying me to Marcus even though he'd marked Celestia? The one that sent phantom pains through my chest every time they touched? Don't, Kai said, reading my expression. Not yet. You're not ready. That kind of magic, it takes more than skill. It takes acceptance. You have to truly let him go before you can cut the bond. Otherwise, you'll just hurt yourself worse. He was right. Because even after a year, even after everything, part of me still hoped. Still waited. Still believed that maybe Marcus would feel the bond. Would realize his mistake. Would choose me. Pathetic. But real. Training wasn't just magical. Kai also taught me to fight. Really fight. Not the pitiful self-defense Mother had dismissed as pointless. You're small, he said bluntly during our first combat session. That's an advantage if you use it right. Speed over strength, precision over power. Make them underestimate you, then strike where they don't expect. He was a brutal teacher. Didn't hold back just because I was female, or young, or still recovering from rejection. He pushed me until I broke. Then taught me how to put myself back together stronger. And somewhere along the way, something shifted between us. It started small. Lingering looks, hands touching during training. Conversations that stretched late into the night. Kai was nothing like Marcus. Where Marcus was golden and perfect, Kai was dark and scarred. Where Marcus needed perfection, Kai valued strength. Where Marcus saw only Celestia, Kai saw only me. You're staring, I said one evening. We were sitting on his balcony, watching the moon rise over the valley. I'm appreciating, he corrected with a slight smile. There's a difference. Appreciating what? How far you've come. A year ago, you could barely control a spark. Now you're one of the most powerful wolves I've ever trained. He turned to look at me fully. You're extraordinary, Sarah. I hope you know that. I'm still not Celestia, I said before I could stop myself. Thank the gods for that, Kai said fervently. I don't want Celestia. Golden child, perfect princess, everyone's favorite. Sounds exhausting. I want the girl who survived being compared her whole life and came out of it with power that could reshape the world. Why? I whispered. Because you're real, he said simply. No masks, no pretense, just raw strength and vulnerability in equal measure. That's infinitely more interesting than perfection. He reached out, tucking a strand of silver-touched hair behind my ear. My power had changed my appearance slightly. darkened my hair with silver streaks, made my eyes more luminous, made me look less like Celestia's copy and more like myself. "Kai," I breathed. "I know," he said, pulling his hand back. "You're still healing, still bound to a mate who doesn't deserve you. I won't push, but Sarah..." His silver blue eyes were intense. "When you're ready, when you finally let him go and severed that bond, I'll be here, waiting, because you deserve someone who chooses you first. Every time, without hesitation." It wasn't a mate bond, but it was something. And maybe, I thought, watching the moon rise, maybe something real was better than a bond the moon goddess forced on you. Maybe choice was better than fate. Chapter 9. The Severing. It happened on the second anniversary of my rejection. 2 years since Marcus marked Celestia. 2 years since I ran. I could still feel him through the bond. Fainter now, dulled by distance and time. But there. A constant ache. A reminder that I wasn't free. Kai found me on the training grounds at dawn, silver power crackling around my hands as I worked through combat forms. "You're up early," he observed. "Couldn't sleep. Because of him." It wasn't a question. Kai always knew. "I can still feel them," I admitted, my power flaring brighter with emotion. "Every time they touch. Every time he..." I cut myself off. "I thought it would fade, but it's been 2 years and it's still there." "Then sever it," Kai said quietly. "I don't know if I can." "You can. I've watched you master every other impossible thing. This is no different." He moved closer. "Sarah, you're not the same broken girl who stumbled into my territory. You're powerful, confident. You've built a life here. You have people who care about you, a place that's actually home. But you can't fully move forward while that bond still chains you to him. What if it doesn't work? What if it does?" He tilted my chin up, forcing me to meet his eyes. "What if you could finally be free? What would you do?" I knew what I'd do. I'd stop waiting for Marcus to wake up and feel the bond. I'd stop hoping for something that would never happen. I'd let myself want Kai the way he clearly wanted me. "Teach me," I said. "We spent all day preparing, drawing runic circles, gathering moonflowers that only bloomed in shadow, mixing my blood with sacred water." As the sun set and the full moon rose, we stood in the circle. Power thrummed through me. Not just mine, but the Earth's, the moon's. The magic older than pacts or bonds, or the pain of rejection. "Are you ready?" Kai asked. I placed my hand over my heart, where the bond had lived for 2 years. "Yes." "Then cut it." I called my power. Silver light exploded around me, brighter than ever before. I could feel the bond, that cursed thread connecting me to a mate who didn't want me, glowing like a wound in my chest, and I grabbed it. It burned. Gods, it burned! The bond fought back, trying to hold on, trying to convince me this was wrong. But I was stronger now. With a sound like breaking glass, I severed the mate bond. The pain was instantaneous and excruciating. It felt like my chest was being ripped open, like something essential was being torn away, but then, freedom. Blessed, beautiful freedom. The constant ache vanished. The phantom sensation stopped. The pull toward Marcus simply ended. I gasped, falling to my knees. Kai caught me. "Sarah, are you..." "I'm free," I breathed, tears streaming down my face. "Kai, I'm finally free." "Yes, you are," he said, holding me close. "You're free."
and for the first time in 2 years, I felt like I could breathe. Chapter 10. The Summons. 3 months after I severed the bond, a message arrived from Silverwood Pack. Kai brought it to me personally, his expression grave. "It's from your mother," he said. I hadn't heard from her in 2 years, hadn't expected to. I'd left without permission, without explanation. To the pack, I was probably dead or disgraced. I opened the letter with shaking hands. "Sarah, I know you're alive. Know you're with the Rogue King. Rumors travel. The pack needs you. There's a plague, dark magic, that's killing our wolves. Celestia has tried everything. Her power can't heal it. Neither can any pack healer. But I know what you are now. A moon witch. The only power that can counter shadow plague. I'm not asking you to forgive what happened. I'm asking you to help save innocent wolves. Your sister. Your old pack. Please. High Priestess Morgana." I read it twice, then a third time. "She knows what I am," I said numbly. "She wants to use you," Kai corrected, anger edging his voice. "Let the plague run its course. They rejected you. Let them face the consequences. Innocent wolves are dying. Wolves who watched you be overlooked for 16 years and did nothing." He was right. I knew he was right. "But my sister is dying," I whispered. "Celestia. The plague is killing her. And despite everything, the comparisons, the mate bond theft, the lifetime of being second, she was still my twin." "It could be a trap," Kai warned. "I know. They might try to chain you, use your power, then discard you again. I know. If you go back there, you have to go as yourself, powerful, undeniable, not the scared girl who ran. You show them the queen you've become, or you don't go at all." I looked at him, this dangerous ancient alpha who'd taught me to be strong, who'd given me a place to grow, who'd waited patiently for me to be ready for something real. "Come with me," I said. "To Silverwood Pack?" "As my," I hesitated, "as my chosen mate." His eyes widened. "Sarah, no pressure. No claiming. Just stand beside me. Show them I'm not alone anymore. That I don't need their approval because I have something better." I took his hand. "Will you?" Kai studied me for a long moment. Then he smiled, fierce and proud. "It would be my honor to watch you destroy your old pack's expectations," he said. "Let's go remind them what they threw away." Chapter 11. The Return. We arrived at Silverwood Pack 3 days later, but we didn't sneak in, didn't apologize, didn't come as supplicants begging for acceptance. We came as visiting royalty. Kai rode at my side on a massive black horse, 50 rogue court warriors behind us. I wore robes I'd made myself, silver and black, covered in moon symbols, my power glowing subtly around me. I looked nothing like the scared girl who'd run 2 years ago. I looked like a queen. The pack met us at the border. Mother stood in front, her high priestess robes pristine as always, but I could see the strain on her face. The desperation. Behind her, Marcus. Looking older, tired, but still handsome. Still alpha, still nothing to me. "Sarah," Mother said, and for the first time in my life, I heard uncertainty in her voice. "You came." "You summoned," I said coolly. "I'm here to help. Not to stay. Not to be welcomed back into a pack that never wanted me. Just to heal the plague and leave." "I understand." She glanced at Kai, wariness in her eyes. "The Rogue King?" "My chosen mate," I said clearly. "Alpha Kai. Show him the respect you'd show me. Or this ends now." Mother swallowed. nodded, bent her head slightly in respect. Something I'd never seen her do for anyone except an alpha. "Welcome to Silverwood," she said stiffly. Marcus was staring at me like he didn't recognize me. "Sarah?" "Alpha Marcus," I said formally. No warmth, no recognition of what we'd almost been. "Where are the infected?" "In the healing house. But Sarah, we need to talk about what happened. About..." "We don't," I interrupted. "There's nothing to discuss. You chose my sister. I accepted it. End of story." "But you're my..." "I was your fated mate," I corrected. 2 years ago. But I severed the bond 3 months ago. So now I'm nothing to you. Just the moon witch you need to save your pack." The shock on his face might have been satisfying once. Now it was just nothing. "Take me to the infected," I said to Mother. She led us through pack lands. Wolves stared as we passed, whispered, pointed. "Is that Sarah? She looks so different. That power around her, what is she?" Let them stare. Let them whisper. Let them finally see me. The healing house was a nightmare. Dozens of wolves lay on cots, their bodies covered in black spreading marks. Shadow plague. Dark magic that consumed life force slowly, painfully. And in the center, on the largest cot, lay Celestia. My twin sister. Still beautiful even while dying. Golden hair spread across the pillow. Skin pale. The black marks crawling up her arms toward her heart. She was awake. Her eyes found mine. "Sarah?" she breathed. "You came. I knew you would. You always, always forgive me." "Did I?" I approached her cot slowly, looked down at the twin who'd taken everything from me without ever meaning to. "I'm here to heal you," I said. "Not to forgive. There's a difference." Hurt flashed in her eyes. "Sarah? I never meant..." "Save your strength," I interrupted. "This is going to hurt." I placed my hands on her chest where the plague marks were darkest. And I called my power. Silver light exploded from my palms, pouring into her body. I could feel the dark magic fighting back, trying to resist. But my power was older, stronger. Slowly, the black marks receded, faded, vanished. Celestia gasped, her color returning, her breathing easing. Around the room, I did the same for every infected wolf. One by one, I healed what Celestia's golden magic couldn't touch. Because I wasn't golden. I was silver. I was shadow and moonlight and everything they'd called weak. And I was saving them all. When it was done, when every wolf was healing, I stood in the center of the room. Everyone was watching me. Even Celestia, sitting up on her cot, staring at me like she'd never seen me before. "The plague is gone," I announced. "You'll all recover fully. But understand, this doesn't restore me to the pack. I'm not staying. I came because innocent wolves were dying. Now that they're not, I'm leaving." "Sarah, wait." Celestia struggled to her feet. "Please, we need to talk. About everything. About Marcus and the mate bond and..." "There's nothing to talk about," I said gently but firmly. "You didn't know Celestia. You couldn't feel that he was mine. I understand that. But it doesn't change anything. He chose you. You chose him. I've moved on." "To the Rogue King?" Marcus spoke from the doorway, his voice tight. "To someone who chose me first," I corrected. "To someone who sees my value without needing a mate bond to force it. To freedom." "But you're my mate," Marcus exploded. "The real bond was with you. I felt it the moment you severed it, like something vital being ripped away." "You felt it when I cut it," I said coldly.
Not during the 2 years I lived with it. Not when I told you and you laughed. Not when I watched you mark my sister. You only noticed when it was gone. That's not love, Marcus. That's loss of property. That's not fair. Fair? I laughed, bitter and sharp. Nothing about this has been fair, but I'm done caring. You made your choice. I'm making mine. I turned to Kai. He was watching with something like pride. We're leaving, I told him. As you wish, my queen, he said, offering his arm. Wait! Mother stepped forward. Sarah, She struggled with words. I was wrong. About you. About your power. About everything. You were never defective. Never weak. I just couldn't see it. Please, stay. Let us make amends. Make amends to the child you had, I said quietly. Not the woman she became despite you. That child needed you. This woman doesn't. I walked out of the healing house, walked through packlands with Kai at my side and 50 warriors at my back. Walked away from Silverwood Pack for the second time. But this time, I wasn't running. I was choosing. Chapter 12. 1 year later, the Rogue Court had always been home. But after Silverwood, after showing them all who I'd become, it became something more. It became my kingdom. Word spread quickly about the Moon Witch who'd healed an entire pack, about the rejected twin who'd returned more powerful than her perfect sister, about the girl who'd chosen the Rogue King over her fated mate. Wolves started coming, rejected mates, Omegas fleeing forced bonds. The rumors of my abilities brought more than just refugees. Emissaries from distant packs began arriving, some seeking help for wolves trapped in abusive mate bonds, others fearing what my power meant for their traditions. We established careful protocols, only severing bonds in cases of true suffering, and always with both parties' consent when possible. The very definition of fated was being rewritten across the territories, and I found myself becoming the reluctant architect of a new understanding between wolves. Betas who wanted more than pack hierarchy. Alphas who refused to rule through dominance. They came to the Rogue Court seeking freedom. And they stayed because I gave them something better than freedom. I gave them choice. There are over 500 wolves here now, Kai said one evening, reviewing reports with me. We sat in what had become our shared office. His strategic mind and my magical power working together to build something unprecedented. Too many? I asked. Not if we're building what I think we're building. And what's that? He smiled. A new kind of pack. One where power comes from choice instead of fate. Where rejected wolves find purpose instead of shame. Where the Rogue King and his Moon Queen prove that there's a better way. His Moon Queen. We still hadn't completed a mate bond, but we didn't need one. What we had was built on choice. On respect. On partnership forged through struggle instead of forced by the goddess. It was stronger than any mate bond could be. Marry me, Kai said suddenly. I looked up, startled. What? Marry me, he repeated, setting down his papers. Not a mate bond, not a claim, a choice. Choose me the way I choose you. Build this kingdom with me. Be my queen, not because fate says so, but because we decided we're better together. My breath caught. Kai, you don't have to answer now, he said quickly. I just wanted you to know that I'm choosing you, every day, forever, whenever you're ready. I thought about Marcus. About the mate bond that was supposed to be perfect, and instead was agony. I thought about Celestia. About a lifetime of being second choice. I thought about running away and finding power and freedom and myself. And I thought about Kai. Who'd taught me to be strong. who'd waited patiently while I healed, who'd stood beside me when I faced my past, who chose me every single day without fate forcing his hand. "Yes," I said. "Yes. Yes, I'll marry you. I choose you, Kai. I choose this life, this kingdom, this future we're building. I choose it all." He kissed me then, deep and claiming and full of promise. And it felt like coming home. Chapter 13, The Ceremony. We held the ceremony under the full moon 3 months later. Not a traditional pack mating. Something new. Something that reflected what we were building. Wolves from every pack came. Word had spread. The rogue king was marrying the moon witch. The rejected twin was becoming a queen. Even Silverwood Pack sent representatives. Not Marcus, not Mother. But Celestia came. She found me before the ceremony, looking nervous. We hadn't spoken since I'd healed her. "Sarah," she said quietly. "I wanted to. I needed to tell you. I'm sorry. For everything. For taking Marcus without knowing. For all the years Mother favored me and I just accepted it. For not seeing how much you were hurting." "I know," I said. "That's it? You know?" "You didn't know about the mate bond," I said simply. "And you couldn't control Mother's favoritism any more than I could. You were just trying to be good at what came naturally. That's not a crime, Celestia." "Then why do I feel like I destroyed your life?" "You didn't destroy it. You just shaped it differently than it would have been." I touched her arm gently. "And honestly, I'm glad. Because if Marcus had chosen me that night, I'd be in Silverwood right now. Trapped in a pack that never valued me. Mated to someone who only wanted me because fate said he should. I'd never have found my power. Never have met Kai. Never have built this." I gestured to the valley filled with celebrating wolves. "So thank you, twin sister. For taking what I thought I wanted and freeing me to find what I actually needed." She started crying. "I miss you. Every day. You're my twin. My other half. And I don't know who I am without you there to..." She stopped. "But you're happy here. I can see that, so I won't ask you to come back." "Visit," I said. "When you can. When pack duties allow. You're always welcome in the rogue court." "Even after everything? You're my twin," I said, echoing her words. "That doesn't change just because everything else did." We hugged then, a real hug, without the weight of comparison or competition. Just two sisters, finally seeing each other clearly. The ceremony was beautiful. Kai and I stood before 500 wolves under the full moon, and we chose each other. Not because we had to, because we wanted to. "I choose Sarah," Kai said, his voice carrying across the valley. "Not because fate bound us, but because she's the strongest, bravest, most extraordinary wolf I've ever known. Because she survived rejection and found power. Because she turned pain into purpose. Because every day with her is better than the day before. I choose her. Now and always. I choose Kai," I said, silver power glowing around us. "Not because a bond forced us together, but because he saw value in me when I had none to offer. Because he taught me to be strong. Because he waited while I healed. Because he stands beside me as an equal, not above me as an owner. I choose him, now and forever." We sealed it with a kiss that felt like magic. And the rogue court celebrated their new queen. Epilogue. 20 years later. I am 38 years old. Kai and I have ruled the rogue court for 20 years. Built it from 500 wolves to over 3,000. Created a kingdom where choice matters more than fate.
where power comes from what you build instead of what you're born with. Silverwood Pack sends emissaries regularly. Mother died 10 years ago, made peace with me before the end. Celestia is High Priestess now, and a good one. Marcus is still Alpha, still mated to my twin, and I haven't felt even a twinge of jealousy in decades, because I have everything I actually wanted. Kai and I have 3 children, 2 girls who both have moon magic, and a son who has his father's strategic brilliance. Their being raised to know their worth isn't determined by comparison or hierarchy. They're being raised to choose their own paths. Today, I'm standing in the same valley where Kai first brought me, where I learned to be strong, where I found home. My eldest daughter, Luna, fittingly, is graduating from the advanced magic training. She's powerful, brilliant, everything I was told I'd never be, and she's choosing her own destiny. Mama, she asks, finding me after the ceremony, did you really sever a mate bond? Aunt Celestia told me, but I thought she was exaggerating. I did, I confirm. Doesn't that hurt? Don't most wolves say the mate bond is sacred? It hurts, I admit, but not as much as staying with someone who doesn't choose you. The mate bond is a gift from the moon goddess Luna, but it's not a cage. And if the bond brings more pain than joy, you're allowed to walk away. You're always allowed to choose yourself. Is that why you chose Papa instead of your fated mate? I chose your father because he chose me first. Because what we built together was stronger than any bond fate could force. Because choosing each other every day means more than being forced together by magic. She hugs me tight. I hope I'm like you when I grow up. Be better, I tell her. You won't have to fight as hard as I did. You'll never be told you're worthless because you're different. So take that advantage and build something even more amazing. Kai joins us, putting his arm around my waist. Giving our daughter dangerous ideas again? Always, I agree, leaning into him. He kisses my temple. Good. The world needs more dangerous women. As the sun sets over the rogue court, over the kingdom we built from nothing, over the family we chose to create, I think about the girl I was. The unwanted twin. The powerless daughter. The rejected mate. She's still part of me. Still drives me to protect wolves who feel worthless, to give them the chances I never had. But she's not all I am anymore. I'm the Moon Witch, the Rogue Queen, the woman who turned rejection into power and pain into purpose. I'm the twin who was wrong until she learned to be herself, and I wouldn't change a single moment of the journey that brought me here, because being chosen second taught me to choose myself first, and that was the most valuable lesson of all. The end.